2 Timothy 2, verse 6. If you remember, we've been looking this week at chapter 2 of the different descriptions, 8 descriptions of or names for believers and their duties. We've already seen Paul talking to Timothy, saying that he is a son or a child to be strong. He was speaking of Timothy being a son or a child in the faith of Paul, and he was told to be strong. Verse 2, it was speaking of him being a teacher, committing these things, these doctrines of Scripture, to faithful men, that they may be also able to teach others. Speaking of passing on the Word of God to competent men, faithful men, that it may continue to go from generation to generation. Then in verse 3 through 5, yesterday we looked at being a good soldier, to endure. We looked at also being an athlete. We're to strive for the masteries, to strive for the things pertaining to the race that we're in as a Christian. We should earn crowns for our service as faithful Christians, and I've noted that this is only for those that are saved. We cannot run any race to obtain salvation, but we run a race as Christians after we have been born again. Today, we pick up in verse 6, the husbandman, or we could say that one that tills the ground or farmer, that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Very interesting. Here we're speaking of one we could say a laborer, a farmer, where he's told to labor. Let's just hold our finger there, and I'd like to pick up with a verse over in the book of James, chapter 5, verse 7, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receives the early and later rain. Early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. So here we see, as we are to serve the Lord, as a soldier, as an athlete, today we see as a husbandman, one that laboreth in the field, we are to strive and to labor and to endure. But now, when we think of working in his field, I hear often in men's prayer, believers that pray thanking the Lord and asking for strength for their area of service the Lord's granted to them. Sometimes they say, in this little corner of your vineyard, thank you for the opportunity to serve. Something of that nature. Isn't that the truth? The Lord is the true husbandman of this life that we're in as Christians, of the whole circumstance that we're in, of the whole realm of spiritual things going on today. He is the great husbandman, and he's granted us just a corner of his vineyard to work in. What a privilege that we can serve in just some minute way for the Lord of glory. We might think, what little I do, what can it matter in the realms of this great work that the Lord Jesus has and is and will be doing? But my friend, it is a privilege and yet a responsibility to serve in just the very corner of his vineyard. So here we see, as we think of ourselves as a husbandman of that little portion that we're working in, we're told to be one that is a laborer. And it says here that he must first partake of the fruits. That's interesting. A brother noted to me just the other day that we need to keep that in mind when we read verse 7, consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. This is one of those verses that you really need to meditate on, I believe, verse 6. The husbandman that laboreth must first must be first partaker of the fruits. In my mind, I think of this, that we must glean from the Word of God ourself. We must spend time in meditation, time alone with the Lord, as we've seen so many by illustration. We see Moses and David and Paul and these people that spent time alone with God. Think of Elijah there by the brook Cherith. The word Cherith means separation. He was away from the things of the world. He had time specifically away from the things of the world that he could be alone with God before he had his great service. These men of God had much time alone with God before they were to serve. You know, I think of Elijah in particular. I remember a note from a brother some over 100 years ago, I believe, he made this great quote, that our time before the Lord in secret must far exceed our time of service in public. You know, when we're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we need to spend more time at His feet than we do in service. For if we're not right with God ourselves, how can we serve Him? You see, this is the point I get from verse 6, that the husband that laboreth must first partake of the fruits. We must be in the Word of God, not only to give out to others, but also that we might have our own hearts encouraged and meditate upon the Word of God. So when we think of this, I have a little quote here from a Mr. W. E. Vine, a good Greek expositor of the things of the Scripture. He said there's three incentives of serving the Lord, being a laborer. The first is that we please the Lord. That's it. That we would glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Second is the obtaining of the reward in the day to come. Now, we noted the rewards somewhat yesterday that we as Christians receive for serving Him faithfully. But that's second to serving the Lord for the Lord's glory, for His name's sake. And third is that of partaking of the fruits of the labor. Isn't that interesting? So today, as we've been looking a little bit at the husbandman, one that labors in his field, let's look now a little further down to verse 8. We read, "Remember that Jesus Christ, of the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel." Verse 9, "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to bonds, but the word of God is not bound." I'd like to read from another translation, so we might get a little comparing scripture with scripture here. Verse 9, "The gospel for which I suffer in suffering and wearing fetters like a criminal." Notice there it kind of lays it out a little more clearly. But the word of God is not fettered, is not chained, is not bound. See, Paul was making note that he was being made a captive like a criminal. Yet we see that he was held captive for his standard as a servant of Christ. But he said, but the word of God is not bound. Now let's turn, if you will, to, for a moment, Romans chapter 1, in connection with what it said in verse 8 there of, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. In Romans 1, as it starts off, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, and goes on verse 3, concerning his son, the Son of God, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. So there, when we see in our passage, 2 Timothy 2 and 8, it speaks of Jesus Christ of the seed of David. Now, bear with me, turn to Acts chapter 2. We're tying this in. An interesting point. You can go back and search it out in the Old Testament. But here in Acts 2, we look at verse 29. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. He is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with him an oath that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. So David, we could say, is the one where Christ would come, physically speaking. He would be born in the line of David, of the seed of David. But then when we go down to verse 34, for David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, this is the Lord, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. So David himself, back in Psalm 110, noted this, that the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand. So we see here in Acts 2:30 that we see Christ mentioned as a son of David, as he came in, born of a virgin, but born there in the line of David. Yet in verse 34, it speaks of how Christ was David's Lord. A son of David, yet David's Lord. Isn't that amazing? For this one, Christ is eternal, and he is the Master. He is the Savior. He is the Almighty. Christ was David's Lord, yet also, physically speaking, he came in David's line, being a son of David. And I wanted to point that out, seeing in 2 Timothy 2:8, it said, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Well, it goes on as we read, wherefore, and I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. So we see here, we go on in verse 10, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. If you will, turn to the book of Philippians and look at chapter 1, verse 12. Here we see how Paul is enduring all things for the saints, for the fellow believers. Philippians 1, 12, but I would that you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places, and many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. So we see here Paul is telling the believers at Philippi that he is in prison, yet what has happened to him has happened for the furtherance of the gospel. We see a number of books here written by Paul were from prison, as we just read Philippians and now also in 2 Timothy. So as we note that, we go back to our portion in 2 Timothy chapter 2, speaking of how the Lord would endure all things for the elect's sake, speaking of the saints. He's serving the Lord steadfastly, as we've seen this week, as a soldier and as an athlete, and as a husbandman in the area of his service. For Mark B.B. and Jeff Buckles, this is Mike Moody, the Two Roads and Two Destinies Radio Ministry. Join us tomorrow for our Bible study at 1 o'clock.